victorious. Victory matters. The reality is, none of us want to be losers. We all want to win. And whether we're talking about a family game of Catan or Skip Bow, or we're talking about our team in the Super Bowl, or we're talking about some type of international conflict, we all want to win. We want our side to win. Victory matters. And so this year we are entering in a major study of victory. Victorious. We want to talk in depth, looking at all the angles of what it means to be victorious in Jesus Christ. We want to take a look at what I consider to be the greatest promise that God offers us. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, as Paul records, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God's promise is that we win. God's promise is that we have the victory. And so we're entering in this theme where everything we're going to talk about is really going to deal with this victory. Most of the sermons are going to come from this idea of being victorious. Our Bible classes, we want them to be anchored in this idea of the victory that we have from Jesus Christ. The Christian Living series that's going to be coming up next week, which I'm sure you've picked up your cards and been inviting people to let them know about the ultimate victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We've got a daily Bible reading plan. And if you weren't here last week, we unveiled that because it began on the 1st. We have a daily Bible reading plan out there in the foyer on the table. We've got this, it's just a sheet of paper folding in half. It's got a schedule for you. We've got a daily blog. If you want to find that, you can look on the back side of this, and it's in the little box down there, victoriousinjesus.wordpress.com. All of that is surrounding the idea of victory and being victorious and the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. The invitation song that we're going to sing today is Victory in Jesus. We'll probably be singing that song a lot this year as we consider the victory that God has offered us. But for all of that, we may still be wondering why. Why do I want to be a part of that? Why? Okay, yeah, we win. We know that. That's fine. What makes focusing on this of utmost importance to us? I want to spend some time talking about that today. Because the reality is, victory matters. And there are some things that victorious means for us that I hope we can carry with us and bring with us, causing us to long to be a part of every aspect of this. Wanting to be involved in the worship, wanting to be involved in the classes, wanting to be involved in the sermons and the extra series and workshops and classes that are going to be going on this year as we talk about victory. Because to be honest with you, there is almost nothing that matters more than this victory. I want to spend some time talking to you this morning about why victorious matters. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious Father in heaven, you are the victorious God. You were victorious in the beginning when you said, "Let there be light," and light shone forth. You have been victorious throughout history, and you were especially victorious when you called forth your Son from the grave, and he stamped upon the head of the serpent, giving a crushing death blow. As he broke the grave and came forth, resurrected to life, and we look forward to our resurrection and victory with you through him. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for making us victorious. Strengthen us to live as your victorious saints and children, as your victorious and triumphal army. Father, help us to go forth and take the land for you. Help us to take your gospel to our neighbors and our co-workers so that they also can be victorious. And Father, that's the great thing about the victory that you offer. It is not for merely one competitor, but it's for all. And we pray that we can bring this victory to our family and our friends, that we will be unashamed as we point them the way to being victorious with you. Help us to understand, Father, that your victory matters, and to focus on it, to delight in it. And I pray that everything we do this year will be about you as the giver of victory, not about us. That today's lesson will not be about me as the one who is presenting it, but will be about you as the one who gives the victory. Father, thank you for revealing your word so that we could know your victory, that we could live in it, and we could pass it along to others. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, this is the anchor verse for our entire year. So I encourage you, if you don't already have it memorized, get it locked into your brain, because you're going to hear it again and again and again. It's going to describe all that we need to know and appreciate about the victory that we're going to be talking about for the next year. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does this victory mean? What does victorious mean? I can tell you the first thing, victorious means conquering. I mean, this is the obvious one, right? Victorious means there's an enemy and we overcome the enemy. It is absolutely and utterly integral and important that we recognize the victory, the overcoming, the conquering that you and I are a part of. We are victorious. It is not simply that we will be victorious, though we will. It is that we are victorious. We are the victorious. We are the overcomers. We are the conquerors. And this is important when we consider the enemy that we face. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, our enemy is described. It would be so much easier if our enemy was just the people that are around us who don't want to do what God says, but that's not the enemy. They're just prisoners of the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I want you to think for a moment about that enemy. Principalities, powers, authority, cosmic rulers. The frightening part of that is we're fighting an enemy, brothers and sisters, that we can't beat. We're fighting an enemy that we cannot defeat. I can't go down to the gym and pump some iron and bulk up. I can't start a protein diet. I can't go down and learn martial arts and be able to defeat this enemy. It's just not going to happen. If you and I go toe to toe against this, we're going to fail. We're going to die. We're going to lose. But God is looking at that enemy and he promises us victory. He says that we have won, that we are winning, and we will win. In Romans chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, listen to what Paul records about our victory. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The enemy is the rulers and the authorities and the cosmic powers. But what God ensures us is they cannot separate us from His love. We are in Christ and we are victorious. And we need to understand this. Because sometimes we lose sight of it. Sometimes we look around at what's going on in our world and we think we're fighting a losing battle. We see a culture and a society that is becoming less and less motivated by spiritual things. We see a culture and a society that mocks Jesus more and more, that ridicules His church more and more. We are so concerned that because America is losing the spiritual battle, that Christ is losing it, and that is just not true. America is not Christ's kingdom. We are. And we are victorious. And we need to understand that we are not losing. We are winning. In Matthew 16, when Peter offers the good confession, Jesus' response is, "You're Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, depending on your translation, "will not prevail against it." We are winning. And I've read the end of the book. We will win. Victorious means conquering. And we are more than conquerors. But perhaps as we've considered this, you've already recognized the second thing we need to understand about victorious, because what victorious means is we are recipients of the grace of God. Look again at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." Victory is a gift. God is giving us the victory. Here's the problem for most of us as Christians. The problem that most of us have is that we think that if I am victorious, then God will give me heaven. That is not the picture of 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57 does not say, "You try really, really, really hard to be victorious, and if you're victorious enough, then you get to be with me forever." That's not what it says. What it says is, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory." Victory is grace that comes from God. It is something that He is accomplishing and we get to enjoy because of His blessing in our lives. What an amazing... That is why we can look at an enemy that we cannot possibly beat or defeat and yet claim to be victorious, because we serve a God who is beating them, has beaten them, and will beat them. And He grants us the victory. Consider 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There are so many pictures of this throughout Scripture, but this is one of my favorites. We'll hone in on this passage in more depth in a later lesson. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, it's surrounded by the armies of Moab, Ammon, and Edom. And when he looks around, he understands that he is facing an enemy that he cannot possibly defeat. And so here's what he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. "O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." He said, "We are powerless. There's no way, God, for me to win the victory. I need you to win the victory." And that's what 1 Corinthians 15:57 is talking about. It's not talking about people who come and bring victory to God as if it is our gift to Him. "Hey, God, did you see all those things I did? Did you see all those victories I won? Do you remember all those times that I overcame temptation? Do you remember all those Sunday mornings that I woke up early and showed up at church for you? Doesn't that count for something? Doesn't that stand for something so I should get to go to heaven because of how wonderfully victorious I have been?" That's not the picture. The picture of Jehoshaphat and the picture of 1 Corinthians 15:57 is a group of people that understand we're going to lose. But God wins. And so we're turning to His side so we can win with Him. That's the picture. No, this is not a picture that says I get to live recklessly and rebelliously and impenitently in sin and God blesses me with the victory anyway. That's not the picture. The picture is one that says I want the victory. I've tried to be victorious, but I can't. I haven't. I don't. And so now I'm just turning my life over to God and He brings victory into my life. That's the grace that He is offering. That is what we are. We are the victorious. Victory matters. Because victorious means being recipients of the grace of God. Victorious is powerful. Victorious means heads held high. Victorious means heads held high. Whenever Paul is talking about victory, whenever he is writing about triumph, we need to read that in the Roman context. Because the Romans understood what triumph meant. The Romans understood what victory meant. The Romans throughout the Roman Empire knew of the victories that their emperor had led them to, that their generals had brought about. They knew of the battles that had been fought. Many of them had seen the marching army as it marched out and then as it came back. But when it comes back with the soldiers' heads held high and the enemies in a train behind them, shackled, heads bowed, those who had been in Rome itself had seen the triumphs, that's what they were called, the triumphal entries of the emperor and his army, of the general and his army, as they marched through. The army that was victorious, heads held high, shouting shouts of victory. And then at the back end of this parade as it came through, marching to the center of Rome, behind the horses and the animals that carried their burdens and all that they left behind them, the defeated, conquered foes tramping through all that refuse, as the Romans themselves jeered at them and mocked them and pelted them with refuse, they understood what victory and triumph meant. It was those who were defeated at the back that had heads bowed in shame, but those who were led in triumphal procession with shouts of victory and triumph and smiles on their faces and heads held high because they won. They knew what that victory was. They understood what victorious meant. We need to understand what victorious means because our culture is trying to stop that. Brothers and sisters, we are the victorious winners. We are the ones that will come out in the end. And so our heads do not have to be bowed in shame. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18, Paul records that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And it goes on and points out that the Jews didn't understand it, and the Greeks didn't understand it, but for us it is the power of God and it is saving us. Why? Because we're victorious. But those who don't accept it, they're going to think that it's folly. And if they think that the word of the cross is folly, what are they going to say about those of us who follow it? They're going to say that we're fools. And isn't that what the world is saying about us? And in our minds today, it looks like we're being defeated by the intelligentsia that is out there explaining that you've got to be a fool to believe the Bible. Oh, it's only idiots and morons that believe there is a God who created the world by His mighty, powerful hand. Oh, you've got to be ridiculously naive to believe that the way the world can be conducted is through loving your neighbor as yourself. And then, of course, there are folks in false teaching churches that have perverted and twisted things that think that we're fools for just going back to what it says. And sometimes we walk around with heads bowed low, kicking the dust, apologizing for believing what God has revealed. And we don't have to do that because victorious means heads held high. Victorious means that we are at the beginning of the triumph. We are at the front end of the procession. We're inviting those in the back to come up and be with us, but if they don't, they're going to be defeated. We don't have to apologize. Listen, we don't have to be reckless and mean about it. In fact, we must not be. But we don't have to be embarrassed and ashamed by what we believe and by what we teach and what we practice, because we are victorious. In Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Why is it that we can love our enemies and pray for them? I tell you what, it becomes a whole lot easier when we realize, hey, we've won. We're winning. I can love my enemy because I know they're losing. And I can love them because I want them to win as well. That's what victory is. We are victorious. And victory matters. And the great thing about victory is that we're not doing this by ourselves. We're not the only ones victorious. Victorious means taking our place in a long train of God's victorious saints. It means being a part of God's story that has been repeated again and again and again. And we can see the people who have been victorious through God all throughout this book. If you're like me, however, we look at the people who are accounted in here. And somehow we think that we can't ever be like them. Somehow we think that they've got something that we just don't have. And we look at them and we think that they're super saints, emblazoned with an S on their torso. Faster than a speeding temptation. Stronger than Satan himself, and able to make tall leaps of faith in a single bound. That's what they had. We're just normal, everyday, average people. What can we expect to accomplish? Spend some time in their stories. These are normal, everyday, average people that had nothing going for them except a God who is victorious. Moses was a failed insurgent. Jael, a housewife. David, a shepherd. Gideon, a scared farmer. And yet, what happened through all of these? God gave the victory. And when it comes to their spiritual lives, these are people that were not necessarily paragons. They messed up. Moses killed a man. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied. David committed adultery. Rahab was a harlot. And yet God brought about victory through these people. Don't you want to be a part of that story? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that story as God continues to take normal, everyday, average people who have nothing going for them, but God comes into their life and He makes something out of us? That's been God's story with His people again and again and again. And victorious means you get to be part of that story. That's what victorious means. Victorious means that we get to stand out because we have a God who is standing us up. That's what victorious means. In Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. As the Hebrew writer caps off the list of so many victorious saints, he says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." That is the story that victorious means you get to be a part of. And we've got a great cloud of witnesses who have been part of that story. I want to be a part of that cloud. How about you? That is victorious. And ultimately, The reason that victorious and victory matters is because victorious means eternity with God. The victory that we have, certainly it talks about the daily victories that we'll have over temptation. Certainly it talks about the weekly, monthly, yearly victories that we have with the struggles that we face in life. But the victory that Paul is most concerned with in 1 Corinthians 15 is that ultimate victory when this life is over. That's what the entire chapter is about. It begins by talking about Jesus' resurrection and then defends resurrection. And then it comes down to the part that talks about us and our resurrection. And that's the victory that he is most concerned with. Listen to how Peter describes this victory in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, verse 6 says, you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That is victory, glory, praise, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Joy inexpressible when we obtain the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. That is victory. That's eternity with God. Paul talks about it again in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Well, let's back up to verse 7. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul says this. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We may go through trials and tribulations on the way to the victory, but what Peter and Paul both point out is that we are victorious, and we're talking about eternity with God. Do you want that? That's what this is about. This is about having that resurrection, and there is, in fact, no better place in Scripture that describes this victory better than the passage we're in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42, he says, 1 Corinthians 15:42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. Listen to our victory, brothers and sisters. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And then in verse 50, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? That is our victory. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That is what it means to be victorious. Brothers and sisters, we are victorious. We will be victorious. And that's what this year is about. I hope you want to be a part of it. If you're going to be using a songbook this morning, would you pull that out now, please? Victory in Jesus. Number 470. 470. Do you want to be victorious? I think you do. I think that's why you're here. I think I'm looking at people that want to do right, that want to be holy, that want to be like God. That's why you'd get up on a Sunday morning and show up at a place like this. Jesus died so you can have that victory. Please understand that. He didn't die so that if you accomplish that victory, then you could go to heaven. He died so that you can have that victory. He didn't die so that you could fix your life and once you get right enough, then you can start being a part of His church. He died so that you could be forgiven and live like that. Would you like to be a part of that victory? Because I know those of us here who are experiencing it want you to be a part of that victory. Jesus said this, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Victory is in Jesus and it is in Him alone. If we can invite you to enter Jesus this morning, we'd ask you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.